Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. Maybe on the PC you could find games that approach this this kind of storytelling, but they really got away with something by couching this story and these themes in survival horror, a genre that was about to die.
Yeah, they were incredibly clever and bold to do any of this, basically, and tackle so many gruesome topics with a lot of tact, especially for 2001. Like,
yeah,
props for not making this a freak show, like so many other games that deal with mental health and all sorts of topics. Rape is brought up in this game in a very, very, very tasteful way, which is shocking for the time it came out. I think, like, I love games that kind of trick the gamer into getting into something that they don't expect, and Silent Hill 2 extremely does that, especially in that there's multiple endings that it doesn't tell you when it's, like, monitoring. Like, what it doesn't tell you what it's monitoring to get those endings. So I wish I could go back in time and play this when it came out, because I didn't play it until I want to say like 2003 or something, because I just it wasn't on my radar. I wasn't into survival horror yet. I was like 16 when I first played it. The fact is that there's multiple endings, and there's no obvious tell that there is in the first place, or what influences it. Must have been wild to experience the first time, because I bet there's kids playing this all over the place and just being like, oh, I got this ending where the protagonist kills himself. Somebody's like, that's not what? I didn't get that. What are you talking about? I can't imagine how cool that must have been.
Yeah, there must have been something in the water in the games industry in 2001, because like that fall, all the games I mentioned, they were all about telling new kinds of stories and also telling stories in different ways. And especially Konami, I mean, we view them now as like the pachinko sellout machine, but look at Silent Hill 2, look at Metal Gear Solid 2, both the same season, both like all about fucking with your brain, like about upending things, about making you like, oh, this person isn't who you thought they were. Like something was going on where they wanted to be very experimental at this time. And that was so great to see.
Yeah, I think that's why people are so like devastated that Konami has fallen to this like state, because it's like we're so attached to Konami as this like incredible bold trendsetter sort of like entity, and then like to see them like continually fall from grace has been like such a tragedy to see happening in slow motion. Anyway, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it's really fascinating, like, looking at the conversation around, like, The Last of Us 2, where it's, like, everyone's so concerned about, you know, oh, well, what makes a game fun to play, you know? But the funny thing about it is that, like, Silent Hill 2 originally, like, you play through that game, and I don't think you could really classify it as fun. I mean, if you really stretch the idea of what fun means. But, like, I thought it was, after I've played that game, it was like really it made me think that, like, oh, not all companies just want to make money. Sometimes when you make something, you're trying to say something. It's not about trying to min-max like the amount of revenue you get, you know. It's just, you know, they have something that they want to say. And one of the fascinating things about Silent Hill 2 is if you look at Angela's story, like especially the fiery staircase scene, that scene, it's talking directly to you, the gamer, about rescuing the damsel in distress as she was set up. And she straight up like looks at you and says, what do you, you can't save me, you idiot, you fucking dumbass. Like, you suck, actually. And making the player play a character who for all intents and purposes sucks. And it's fascinating that a game could like embody this idea of like not wanting to tell you, not wanting for you to play it, but wanting for you to experience it, wanting you to like understand the key moral that it was trying to say and what it was trying to say about trauma and sexual, like our sexual natures and all these different fascinating concepts. Yeah.